All right, listener request time. A friend of mine just texted me like 20 minutes ago asking me about ropes, and all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, that's a good topic. I want to talk about ropes. And I think the rope question is a pretty interesting one nowadays because technology has really done a lot of stuff in terms of the development of ropes and the options that we have available to us. In some ways, it's hard to know what to get. I've mentioned this before, like ropes traditionally were made out of organic materials, hemp, silk, even cotton, stuff that would literally rot and therefore break, right? And then nylon ropes didn't really come about until about World War II, as nylon was invented, I believe, just before World War II. And then it's really the advent of mountain warfare that really propelled a lot of climbing equipment forward, like ropes being one, carabiners, stuff like that being one. And then in 1953, Edelred was the first company, German company, his first company to actually make a Kern mantle rope. So the ropes that we have now, the Kern mantle, the two-part, the core sheath construction that we find on all climbing ropes. That's who invented that type of rope. And since then, most ropes have been like that, a Kern mantle, right? And, you know, for a long time, we didn't have a lot of options. You know, we had kind of like single ropes, and then we had like lighter weight half ropes, and then twin ropes too, right? It's kind of these three categories. And I remember when I first started climbing, like you either bought an 11 mil rope, or if you wanted to go a little lighter, you'd buy 10 and a half mil. And a 10 mil rope was like only what like the hardcore alpinists were using in the catalogs and the magazines, right? Like you're like, whoa, a 10 mil rope, that's the light alpine rope, that's the light ice climbing rope. And then there were half ropes for sure and twin ropes as well, but you know, in terms of going using a single rope, that was like what you did, right? And nowadays, if you tell me you have a 10 mil rope, I'm like, oh, that rope's so heavy, right? Oh boy. And I think the rope question about what rope to get is you have to really ask yourself, what solution are you trying to create, right? So what rope is really appropriate for that? If you're just gonna top rope, right, getting a thicker, more durable rope is better, because top roping is actually pretty hard on ropes in terms of, you know, their dynamic capacities. That cycling of like climbing and then get lowered off is pretty hard on ropes. Just go to any climbing gym, you know, those ropes are dynamic ropes, but they're designed for the climbing gym, so they're designed to be more robust for that kind of high wear environment. Are you going to be leading? Are you going to be projecting a route? Like, in falling a lot, is it your red point? Are you climbing in the alpine? Are you guiding and you want to have be able to guide, you know, 2-to-1 ratio? Like, are you on a glacier? You know, do you go from a glacier to a technical rock climb? Or, you know, Does this route require long rappels? Like, there's a lot of factors that go into choosing a rope. So you have to decide, like, what do I want? Now, the general trend is to make ropes thinner, therefore lighter. And the general trend with people is to go harder and therefore faster. So therefore, they want the thinner/lighter equipment. Remember, anytime you make equipment lighter, it is less durable, period. So when you're talking about the primary safety system, the rope system, as soon as you make that cord smaller and smaller and smaller, there is less margin of error with that rope. And remember, ropes cut. Plenty of people have died in the mountains, not even in the mountains, in the crags, because a rope cut. If you get a core shot in your rope, if you go out climbing, you're like, or guiding, I see this a lot with younger guides, like, oh, I got a core shot. That is a, wow, you were really close moment, or it should be that in your mind. You're like, wow, that's how close I was to this rope severing, right? Is now I have this core shot. Because once again, as soon as we start abrading a rope enough so we can see the sheath, we are uncertain how much strength is still in that rope. It could be a lot, it could be not much. You know, you can isolate a core shot with a knot, but once again, is the knot weakening the rope more, or is the core shot? There's a lot of uncertainty. So we have very blunt tools to assess ropes in the field when we see damage to them, like the little pinch test, you know, that a lot of people do. Some people say, oh, that doesn't really mean anything. It's like, well, we don't really have anything else. We're not in a factory. We can't pull stuff. So the trend towards smaller and smaller ropes is great in terms of lightweight. I love carrying small ropes. I love climbing with thin, small ropes. But depending on the application, it really might not be the best choice. Like if I'm climbing in the Alpine, of course I want to bring light stuff because, you know, we might have bigger days, and speed is a big safety piece. So having less weight allows us to move faster. But think about a lot of the systems we use in Alpine climbing, short roping or simul climbing when we're tied in like on a ridge and we might be placing minimal protection, but we might use the actual ridge features, the rock features as protection. Like we kind of weave our rope around rock features, or if you're lucky enough, trees, right? But remember, we're relying on potentially these rock features for counterbalance. And if all of a sudden we're in a situation where we need to counterbalance, right, that rope is getting pulled under tension over rock features. And that's a great recipe for a rope being severed. You know, that classic thing, you're like, you're on the ridge line and, you know, you're short roping and you got some coils in your hands, and your strategy is, well, if they fall that way, I fall this way. Well, first of all, as long as you get your timing right and you choose the right side to jump off and okay. But then once the rope comes under tension, it's kind of a gamble again. You're like, maybe it'll hold if it's a snow ridge, sure. But if it's a rock ridge, maybe it might cut, even though we've kind of did the thing in counterbalance. So I think it's a really interesting game that you can't lose sight of what are the consequences, I just talked about this, of bringing this tool, say, for example, a thinner rope, right, in this application, right? Now, there are some other things out there, like there are some companies who are making ropes with trying to balance the cut resistance of a thinner rope, right, with the weight. So you could always say, oh, I'm just going to bring like a really thick, robust rope with a very thick sheath and all my Alpine climbing. But after a while, you're not going to want to carry that rope. But some companies like BL have the Unicore design where the actual sheath is bonded to the core, which makes it harder to cut. There's actually some pretty impressive videos of them cutting a rope, trying to cut a Unicore rope under tension versus a standard construction rope under tension, and it's pretty significant. Edelred and I guess Mammut now are now using aramid fibers woven into the sheath. I have a couple ropes from Edelred that have that that construction. I can't really say that it's wildly more durable than just the regular nylon rope, but I'm kind of having some faith. It seems to fuzz out just like any other rope does, but it does have those extra fibers in that are harder to cut. So we're using some technology there. So I think it's definitely worth, if you're thinking about buying a thinner rope, especially for a mountain application, right, where we're going to be dealing with more harsh edges potentially and maybe more counterbalance scenarios with like using natural features, to look at ropes that have by design a higher cut resistance, right? So some of those examples I just mentioned, I think it's kind of worth that money. And then another question is well, what rope do I'm going to go out in the mountains, and do I just bring a half rope? Can I just lead on a half rope? Do I bring twin ropes? Do I bring a single rated rope, you know, a triple rated rope? I want to climb with two other people. So is it okay if I bring two half ropes or two twin ropes and they're just tied into an individual half rope or twin rope as they're being belayed up to me? Like what's the matrix? And in some ways it seems overwhelming, right? Like there's all these choices, but to me at this point, it's kind of simplified again, because with the availability of triple rated ropes down to like 8.5 millimeters, there's no reason not to use a rope that's rated for single use, whether in a glacier context or in a mountain context, because you can get very thin ropes now that are actually triple rated, right? Is a half rope actually rated to belay a follower on a single strand of half rope while the leader's on two? Yes, they are rated for that. But there's something else besides the lightness. You have to also think, as the ropes get thinner and thinner, there's more elongation. And I've talked about this a lot. A lot of people don't appreciate it. I hate being belayed as a second on a thin half rope, because there's so much elongation in those ropes that you can easily stretch if you fall off something and hit something, right? A ledge or whatever, you know, if you're not careful. I mean, I see that with just regular ropes, you know, thicker ropes, right? If you're not careful with your belay, even if the belay's tight, there's so much elongation in those systems. So like ice climbing, more opportunity to blow an ankle out as you catch a crampon point, or rock climbing in alpine terrain where it tends to be more ledgy in places. You know, like you say, on a ridge, like once again, these thin ropes are light, but there's some consequence of using them. So if you don't factor into that consequence, right, you still could be in a situation where bad things happen. It's like, yeah, you might not fall off the mountain, but you now hit this ledge and broke your ankle. Now we have another problem, right? So did the safety system really protect you or not, right? I think another interesting thing about ropes as they get smaller and smaller diameter is the usability and functionality of a rope. So now we have to be really conscious of matching our belay tools to the specific ropes, right? So whether that's for leading and we want break assistance, so now we have a thinner rope, so we have to make sure the tools we are using will actually work on that thinner rope. If we're using a half rope system or a twin rope system, so we're being belayed on two ropes, right? Now we need a tool that will actually accommodate those thinner two ropes. If we're belaying two people from the top and they're each on an individual half rope, for example, you know, now we need a tool that can handle a full human weight on a thin rope, right? It's one thing if there's one person on two ropes being belayed up through like a placket, but now we have two people on really thin ropes being belayed up the placket. So you have to make sure you match the tool at the top of the climb that might work for having individual climbers on two very thin ropes, right? So that piece is another factor. You can't just buy the rope and just use whatever. You got to be a little bit more specific about the tools that you are actually using out there. And there's also just a piece of, as ropes get thinner and thinner and lighter, they're harder to manipulate. Thin ropes love to get tangled because they're so supple and light. They love to get tangled with each other. So rope handling becomes a little bit more of a pain in the butt. It also becomes trickier, like if you're climbing on a very, very thin rope and you weight the rope to like untie, because now you have a thin rope, right, with very small knots, and those knots are just getting tight, and it's harder to manipulate those and break those knots open and untie them. Extrapolate that into a winter context. Now the ropes maybe get a little wet, they're a little bit frozen. All of a sudden you might be in a situation where you literally can't untie from the rope. Now that can happen with larger ropes too. I'm not saying it can't, but it's definitely more prevalent as the ropes get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Knots are just harder to untie with small ropes. And partly because our hands are, you know, we don't have tiny little hands, right? Or some of us do, but some of us don't. So a lot of times the bigger your hands are, the harder it is to manipulate small ropes, because you really can't actually grab them fully in your actual hand because they're so small. Where someone who has smaller hands can pinch a smaller rope and have actually more control than someone who's actually bigger, which is kind of an interesting thing. So there's a lot of pieces that you have to think about, right? I think really thinking about the elongation, like sometimes we want the elongation, right, as a leader to soften the impact force of the gear. But once again, more elongation, whether you're leading or seconding, means more distance that you fall. So it brings you closer potentially to a hazard, whether that's a horizontal or a vertical hazard, right? There's tool choice, right? There's just thin cords are going to cut more readily on rock. They're less durable because one of the ways they make cords thinner and lighter is to make their sheaths thinner, right? And that's really that abrasion resistant piece over the core, right? That's our primary strength in a rope. So you make that thinner to get this lighter cord and you're going to have less durability. It's actually interesting, even things, some subtle things with rope, even just the color of the nylon, like the dye. I was talking to some rope engineers in Stirling, and I mentioned one of the ropes I really like from them is the Nano, which is now a 9.0 rope, and it's a thin, nice, firm rope I actually really like. I've had a lot of success. I've used them a lot in the Alpine, and I mentioned that I've had a lot of success, and I thought they were really durable. Now they're like, oh, that's interesting. They're like, what color did you have? And I said, well, I usually buy this color because I like this color. And they're like, huh, that's interesting, because they said the colors matter in terms of the durability, just something with the dye in the nylon rope. Like some colors are more durable than other colors. So there's like little subtle thing pieces there. So I think the rope game is a pretty interesting one. To me, it's easier now. I'm just going to buy a single rope because now I can get them down to a triple rated rope, like to 8.5 millimeters, right? Also think just kind of quickly back, like with a triple rated rope, like, yes, you can use them as a single rope. Yes, you can use them as a half rope. And yes, you can use them as a twin rope. But you also have to be a little bit more careful. Like if you want to use it as a twin rope, remember a triple rated rope is going to have a higher impact force as a twin rope than just a buying twin ropes, just because now it has to meet a wider range of specifications. So if you're really looking for a rope, like say for ice climbing or a rope system for ice climbing, and you want to lessen the impact force because now you're climbing on ice grooves, which can be very strong or not, if you get a triple rated rope and use it as a twin rope, you might actually increase the impact force versus just buying actual twin ropes, right? Because they're designed to be just twin ropes and therefore less impact force. So it's kind of an interesting game. But for me, if I'm on a glacier, if I'm rock climbing in the Alpine, ice climbing, I'm going to buy a triple rated rope, whether I'm guiding 2-to-1, 1-to-1, and then I'm going to really consider buying ropes as I'm getting to the thinner diameters that have some sort of enhanced cut resistance, right? So the Unicor technology or the Aramid technology woven into the sheath, something just to give me a little more margin, at least a little more peace of mind. And so we'll see how the rope industry kind of keeps evolving, and hopefully we see actually even more cut resistance and abrasion resistance ropes in the future, because I think that's actually a really big deal with ropes, is that abrasion and cut resistance piece that sometimes I think people think a lot less about than they should probably.